Good morning. It's great to be with you on this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. I hope you're having a good day so far. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our God, our Father in heaven, a great creator of the universe, Father, we love you and we appreciate your love, your kindness, your mercy, your patience with us, even your discipline, Father. We thank you for all those things. Thank you for this opportunity to worship together, to look into another portion of your word together. Father, we pray that you might continue to be with us, help us to grow and mature spiritually, and fulfill your purpose, Father, for our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this morning's sermon and lesson is Faith is a Victory. I hope you'll find it encouraging and even inspiring as we look to God's word to empower us and to nurture us and feed us and help us remain faithful to our Lord. We begin with a scripture reading from 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now think about it in the terms of our world and our culture. The world's definition of victory or success in this life. Perhaps it's to get a good job and to climb your way up the ladder to the top and be in charge. Maybe simply just to find a good wife and have some children and a family. The American dream of having a home. Perhaps look forward to saving enough money for retirement and then travel around and visit the kids and grandkids. Maybe some kind of fame or fortune or notoriety. Or whoever gets the most toys in the end wins, and we declare victory. But the Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Consider God's definition of victory, which really is available to all if we'll just take hold of that victory held out by our Heavenly Father. It's radically different from the world's definition. Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 and 21, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Again, that's 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 and 21. The Bible makes it clear that spending eternity with Christ in heaven would be declaring victory. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. 1 John 2, verse 17. The greatest victory we could ever attain to is to live forever in heaven with God and with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hearing at some point, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Remember in the parable of the talents, found in Matthew chapter 25. To the servants who had taken the talents given to them by the master and multiplied their talents, they heard from the master in Matthew 25, verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And those are the words we want to hear at the end of our lives and after our short time here in this world. Well done, good and faithful servant. living this life while we're still here to bring glory to God and to glorify God is victory in the spiritual realm and in our lives as Christians. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. So we let our light shine before men, and of course we're reflecting the Father's light, allowing our light to shine before men so that they may see our good works. Our good works in Christ and the good works that God has for us in this world will be obvious to others. But in the end, we give glory to our Father who is in heaven, claiming victory over Satan, sin, and death is the greatest victory of all that can only be found in Christ and through our faith in Christ. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4. How do we gain this victory, though? How can we live victoriously and ultimately die victoriously after our short time here? Well, first of all, we have to play to win. Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." We need to have this kind of outlook on our lives and perspective on our lives. I'm running to win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we as Christians, an imperishable prize. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 25. In order to live victoriously and die victoriously and go on to live eternity with our Father in heaven, we have to persevere. It can be difficult at times in this world, especially as Christians. We're on the narrow road and others are just on the wide road, kind of going with the flow. But with God's help, inspiration from His Word, and the encouragement from one another, we can persevere. We can press on toward the goal. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Consider Paul's life and the difficulties that he experienced and the persecution, the physical pain and suffering, as well as emotional and mental pain and suffering. And one thing that kept Paul going was this mindset, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. That can be so difficult in our personal lives. I know it's been difficult for me at times to forget what lies behind, whatever conflicts I may have had or difficulties or even persecution because of my faith. Whatever lies behind, just leave it behind me in the rearview mirror. And now, look ahead. Paul says, I press on toward the goal. I look forward to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The more we can accept the forgiveness that God provides, accept His forgiveness provided through our faith in Christ, forgive our sins, forgive others as we're called to do, the easier it will become for us to press on toward the goal. We have to stick to God's game plan and not our own game plan. We're called and challenged to work out our salvation. Now, we don't work for our salvation and then earn our salvation. We know it's a gift from God in Christ. But we are called and challenged to work out our salvation. And that's a challenge for us as Christians. And it'll be an ongoing challenge until we go on to be with the Lord for eternity. Philippians 2 and verses 12 and 13, Paul writes, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, with a reverent fear of God. Now, Paul's not referring to a paralyzing fear. In the parable of the talents referred to earlier in Matthew chapter 25, the one who had only received one talent actually ran into trouble because of the fear, the paralyzing fear of his master. And he just buried his one talent rather than using his talent and multiplying his talents. So we know that's not what Paul is referring to here, not a paralyzing fear, but working out our salvation with a reverent fear of God and trembling, knowing the circumstances that we're in this fallen world, and that it's only through our faith and our perseverance in our faith in Christ that will cause us to gain the victory in the end. Working it out is tied directly to obedience and allowing God to work within us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. We're striving as Christians, of course, to do the will of God. We came to Christ, naming him as our Lord. Naming him as our Lord, with our greatest, deepest desire being to submit to him. The one who does the will of God lives forever. We look forward to spending eternity and gaining the victory over death in Christ. But to do so, we have to commit ourselves to doing the will of God. That's why we come together for Bible class. We listen to sermons as we're doing this morning. We encourage one another daily as God has called us to do, because we're doing all these things to work out our salvation in a very practical way. We have to believe that we can be victorious with God's help, not in our own strength, not by our own schemes or plans, but rather remember what Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians. In Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can share with you that in my personal faith and journey of faith, there have been times when I didn't feel like I had the strength to carry on. I'm sure if we could sit down and talk this morning, you felt the same way at times, that you just don't have the physical strength, let alone the spiritual strength to continue on and persevere in this world as a Christian. When you come along those times, or you experience those times in your life, and I experience those times in my life, it helps and it's so encouraging to remember the words of Paul. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Remember that the strength doesn't come from within ourselves. The strength doesn't come even from others at times. It comes through him who strengthens me, God himself and his Son, Jesus Christ. We can find victory spiritually when we learn to resist the enemy. Resist buying into the world's definition of victory. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, this is easier said than done. Not to be conformed or squeezed into the mold of this world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The only way we can experience the transforming and the renewing of our mind is to get our mind focused on the Word of God and the will of God revealed to us through His Word. We fix our eyes on Jesus, on His life and His example. We fix our eyes on His teaching of Jesus Himself, as well as the teaching of the other inspired writers of the New Testament. Then we get to experience the privilege and the victory that comes along with having a transformed, renewed mind through the Word of God. We learn to resist temptation. We're going to experience temptation in this world until we go on to be with the Lord. Whether He comes back first or our short time here is over, temptation is going to be all around us. We can learn, we can mature spiritually and learn to resist temptation. James 4, verses 7 and 8, James writes, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Years ago, worshiping here at Lassen Street, we had an elder here, Norm Stone. I remember being in one of his Bible classes, and he said he had seen one time on the sign outside of a church for that sermon coming up that Sunday, feeling distant from God? Who moved? God is always there. He's unchanging. When we're feeling distant from Him, it's time for us to draw near to God. And then we have this great promise from James that God will draw near to us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James was a brother of Jesus. He's writing here to Christians like us. And there are times, even as Christians, we have to cleanse our hands. He's not talking about running to the bathroom and cleaning our hands with some Irish Spring soap or anything like that, right? He's talking about cleansing our hearts once again. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Get that single focus back once again, focused on Christ and His Word and His will for us. And then we'll find strength to resist the devil, our greatest enemy. We can be alert. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert, Peter says. 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We have an adversary who's out there looking to take us out as Christians. But we don't have to be taken out. Peter goes on to say, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. A lot of times when we're experiencing temptation, we tend to feel like we're all alone. We feel like we're the only one who has experienced this kind of temptation and this kind of pull back into the world. Peter's making it clear and reminding us that's simply not true. There are others around the world. There are others even in our own congregation who experience temptation just as we do. But remember Peter's words, resist him, firm in your faith. Draw near to God, as James says, and we can gain the victory. We can claim the greatest victory of all that I've already alluded to in this lesson, victory over death itself. Victory over death itself only comes through faith in Christ and through being in Christ. But when this perishable, Paul is referring to this perishable, temporary body, will have put on the imperishable. There he's referring to the imperishable body that we receive when we go on to be with the Lord for eternity. And this mortal temporary body will have put on immortality when we go on to be with the Lord. Then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the feeling of victory. I've only been able to feel it a few times in a few wrestling matches. Our cross-country team had some victories. And it just felt so good to celebrate the victory together as a team after all that effort. We can gain the victory, the greatest victory of all over death, only in Christ. And as we persevere in Him and in our faith in Him together as Christians, we're referred to by Paul as more than conquerors as Christians. Now, there have been days and times, perhaps even weeks, when I simply did not feel like more than a conqueror. I didn't feel like a conqueror at all, to tell you the truth. But yet it stands true, regardless of how we feel, we are more than conquerors as Christians. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I find those words comforting, encouraging, and even inspiring this morning, as well as every time I read those words, and I hope that you find them encouraging and inspiring this morning. Because as a Christian, you're more than a conqueror. And you have the power to conquer death when we depend on the power of God and Jesus Christ Himself. Remember the soul-searching questions asked by Jesus Himself. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life?" Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." We can experience losing our life for His sake and then finding the true life that only Christ Himself can give and the victory that comes along with it. Claim your victory in Jesus Christ today if you haven't already. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Him, turn your life and your plans over to Him. To prepare our minds for communion, we'll turn over to Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 14. "When the hour had come, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when He had taken the cup and given thanks, He said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.' And when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave to them, saying, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same way, He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in My blood.'" Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the bread. Father, our God in heaven, we pray that as we partake of this unleavened bread that represents the broken body of Your Son, we may do so in a way that's pleasing to You. Father, looking back and remembering the great sacrifice and suffering that Your Son endured on our behalf, and Father, also looking forward to spending eternity with You because He was raised after those 3 days in the tomb. We pray, Father, remembering that our need for His great sacrifice to provide for us the forgiveness of our sins. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll have a prayer for the fruit of the vine representing that precious blood of Christ. Our Father, our God in heaven, again, we come to You in prayer asking that we could partake of this fruit of the vine representing that precious blood of Your Son that was shed on our behalf to provide forgiveness of sins. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a great blessing spending this Sunday morning with you, this Lord's Day. Let's go to our Heavenly Father one more time in prayer, asking for guidance and strength in this coming week. Our Father, our God in heaven, God, we sincerely pray to you, asking for strength that only you can provide. Father, for wisdom and guidance that only you can give as we face this coming week as Christians. We pray that we can live victoriously as you want us to, knowing, Father, that we've conquered our greatest enemy, Satan, sin, and death. Father, please give us wisdom as we go back into our workplaces or to school and wherever we may go and whatever we do. Father, please be with us. Strengthen us and be with us until we can come together again to encourage one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.